Hari. Kopi Jana Pahala Bagra Lahir Hari.
Kopi
Kopi Jana Pahala Bagra Lahir Hari. Yashoramandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoramandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira
Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Padrajakacharya, Sotir, Sadashi, Shimidis, Vangris, A.C. Bhakti, Vedanta, Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada, Kijai, Bhistan, Pandacharya, Shri Prabhupada, Kijai, Samadhyaya, Bhakti, Vindhi, Kijai, Oda Premananda, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Guranga. Namah Vishnupadaya Krishna Sadhguru Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhanamani Manasa Sadhguru Morgan Vishnu 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 I guess you could put it up. It's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1981. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for being here today. As most of you know, Friday, of course, was the disappearance day of our beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And that's sort of been fresh in my mind. I thought it would be good to sort of extend some of that discussion. We heard a lot of his pastimes and so many wonderful remembrances and devotees' recollections and their feelings and their of expression they felt towards him. So I wanted to talk a little bit more today about the position of the spiritual master and what it generally means as far as being guru and what it means to our relationship with Krishna through the spiritual master. So I'm going to start off reading with Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.151, and this is Lord Chaitanya giving instructions to Rupa Goswami. I'll just read through it since we're running a little bit later tonight. Brahmanda Bhamite Konya Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beej. There's a very well-known verse here. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many myriads of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper devotional service. Probably not going to read the whole purport here, but parts of it. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe, or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets, and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air, on land, and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagavan, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna Consciousness Movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual minister. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living entity being freed from material bondage. I'm going to skip down a little bit. Following the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna Conscious Movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then by the grace of Krishna, once life becomes successful, everyone has dormant Krishna Bhakti, love for Krishna, and in association with devotees that love is revealed. Is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjha 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanandi Shiva Chitte Karaye Udhaya. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instruction, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service, Guru Krishna Prasade Pahya Bhakti Lata Beach. Umayana Parindisha Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuri Tamina Tasma Shri Dravena Maha Vanchaka Patri Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Pati Dhamma Padme Dio Vaishnava Yamuna Maha. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Lila's seventh chapter, Lord Chaitanya says that all Vedic verses describe three subject matters. We could classify everything that's there, all spiritual knowledge, into three categories, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Now, Sambandha is one's relationship with the Supreme. Understanding spiritual knowledge, for instance, Bhagavad Gita and so many other scriptures tell us about what the universe is, what the jiva, what the living entity is, what is God, what is our relationship with God, all of these things. And further, Sambandha is technically defined as connection. Prabhupada usually uses connection as the synonym for Sambandha. So we're establishing a relationship. And Prabhupada explains in his purport, it's a relationship that is there dormant within the heart that has been lost by the living entity as we travel through these material universes, birth after birth, life after life. So the process of Krishna consciousness is one of revealing or unveiling this latent spiritual knowledge and spiritual personality that we are, that's encaged within this body at the moment. Then the next part is Abhideya, which is activity in devotional service, which is the practical application of sort of how to do it. All right, once you know what the aim is, you know, how do we get there? And of course, Prayojana is the perfection, pure unalloyed devotional service, Krishna Prema. So this particular verse and purport really establishes the process of Sambandha. What the connection is, how does that happen for the living entity? Now first it's describing our original position. Well, not our original position, but our position that we find ourselves here in the material world, every one of us. It says we were wandering throughout the universe in higher and lower planetary systems. Now this might seem a little strange to us. I mean, most of us don't remember being through too many different planetary systems beyond this Earth planet that we find ourselves in now. But we can understand from the Vedic scriptures that we go through many, many different species of life, transmigrating from one body to the next, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, wandering throughout. And it's described that the living entities are found everywhere and are engaged in the struggle for survival in the material world. Bhagavad Gita in 2.24 uses the term sarva-gata. It says the living entities are all-pervading. In other words, they're found everywhere. Prabhupada says the word sarva-gata, all-pervading, is significant because there's no doubt living entities are all over God's creation. They live on the land, in the water, in the air, within earth, and even within fire. And that's not really hard to believe because even scientists have found, like in Antarctica, there's something like 400 different species of lichen. Pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, that who would have known? And you know, and you can go down to the deepest trenches of the ocean, 5 miles deep underwater, where the pressure is like 1,000 times greater than the surface, where nothing could possibly live. There's fish living down there somehow. And you can go a mile down into the earth, and there's these nematodes, which are like little worms. There's no oxygen, it's extremely hot, somehow they're living. The point is that living entities can survive being boiled, frozen, crushed, dried out, blasted into space, anything. And somehow the struggle for survival goes on. Why? Because the soul is eternal. Every single living entity has the jiva, the atma, the soul within it. And that soul is eternal, therefore, because we identify with these bodies, we want these bodies to be eternal. So we're always struggling for life, somehow or another, in any species, in any circumstances. And it is a struggle. In 15.7, Bhagavad Gita says, it calls this prakriti shtani karshati. Karshati is struggle. It is a struggle. You know, it's not easy. Sometimes we look out, I know I tend to like nature and trees and things like that, but if you're actually realistic about it, what's going on, like under the surface? You know, this mad struggle, all the roots are trying to get the nutrients, this and this animal's eating this animal, and you know, it's really not all that nice when it comes right down to it, because everyone is struggling for survival. And still, despite that, everyone is trying to enjoy. Everyone thinks somehow or another, if I do it right, I'll be able to enjoy happiness in this material world. The problem being, of course, is that the material world is not really a place of happiness. It's a place where, no matter what else is going on, you may have a very high standard of life, but we all experience birth, death, disease, and old age. And as I often say, by the time you get to be my age, you really appreciate those things. You understand what it means, old age, disease, and mortality. At any rate, this is going on for all of us. And what is the point? The point is really to get out. That is Krishna's plan. That is God's plan, is for us to get out of this material world. So how does he enact that plan? He enacts that plan by sending, of course, he comes himself, as incarnations, as avatars, as he is Krishna came, spoke Bhagavad Gita, sends the different scriptures, but also he sends his representatives. He sends the guru, the sadhus, the great sages and saints, the spiritual masters, who come into this material world for no other purpose than to try to help us, to try to get us, the conditioned souls, out of the situation and return us to our real spiritual life. So it says that one who is a Bhagavan Jiva, a very fortunate living entity, meets the bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's arrangement. It's described that by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So, Prabhupada says here in the purport that Krishna is the Paramatma, the super soul, within the heart of every living entity. Most living entities aren't realizing it, but Krishna is working. God is working there within our hearts all the time to try to help us, to guide us, if we show any inclination towards him. Described that it's like two birds in a tree, you know, the two green birds, the two parrots in a green tree or something. Anyway, one is like eating the fruit, and the other is just witnessing, watching him. And of course, the watching one is the Paramatma, the super soul. And the other is us, the jiva, eating the fruit, trying to enjoy this material world. But we may get tired of it. We get enough indigestion from that fruit, so to speak, and we somehow turn to the other bird, turn to the witness, turn to the super soul within, and think, okay, I've had enough. I'm exhausted with this. There must be something more. What is my purpose in life? What is my spiritual life? And then Krishna, the witness, the Paramatma, situated in the heart, directs us and guides us. And he guides us to the Guru, to the spiritual master who can give us further instruction and guidance in real spiritual life. This isn't just theoretical. I had this experience myself. Many of us have. Many of us have similar stories, I'm sure, of this how we came to Krishna consciousness stories. But anyway, many, many decades ago, about 1972, my wife and I were, you know, looking for spiritual life and trying all sorts of things. And, you know, and basically, my wife wrote, there was about eight, 10 or 15 temples, 12 temples maybe in the United States. And so she wrote to all those temples to see if she could get an invitation to come and visit. She didn't know that everyone just drops in and stays or whatever, you know, you know, hangs out for a few years. But at that point, you know, being very polite and formal, she thought we should get an invitation. So Of course, knowing devotees are very, very busy people engaged in the sankirtan movement in Chaitanya, no one responded, except one temple in Seattle. And we lived in Illinois, but she has relatives in Washington State. So we said, okay, we'll just combine it. We'll go out, we'll see them, and we'll go, since we got the invitation, we'll go see the Seattle temple. So we went all the way out to the Seattle temple. Nice. It was nice. I don't know if anyone remembers Shukadev, great kirtan leader, was the president there at the time. And I thought, gee, I don't know if I can do this program because you have to be such a good singer, I guess. I didn't realize he was exceptional. But anyway, they only had brahmacharis, you know, single men at the temple. And we had a babe, we had a child, a four-year-old. And so they said, well, you know, this isn't really a very good place. We don't really have a facility for families here. He says, most of our families go to our farm. We go, oh, that sounds cool. Farms, yeah. We want to be on a farm. And they said, well, the one we have is in West Virginia. Okay. So we got back in our van and we drove 2,500 miles, whatever, back to West Virginia. And we finally found this place going up the winding hills to New Vrindavan. And all these devotees are there, very, very crowded. Turns out it's the day after Vyas Puja. And Srila Prabhupada is there. And everyone's saying, he's coming, he's coming. And we think, who's that? It must, maybe it's the guru. So we came into this very crowded little temple room. They just installed, you know, Radha Vrindavan Chandra there, Bahulaban. You know, so it was a really big festival, lots and lots of devotees there. And we walked in, sat down. It was at night, and Srila Prabhupada came in. We had Artik, beautiful kirtan. And then Srila Prabhupada gave Bhagavad Gita class at night. So it was really very, very amazing experience. And of course, it's one of those where we didn't understand a word he said. But after it's finished, my wife and Trina looked at each other and kind of, you know, we knew, yeah, okay, this is it. This is our guru. You know, we're here. And so, of course, we joined it. We went back to Illinois and joined the temple in Chicago, as it turned out. At any rate, it illustrated to me later when I read verses like this, exactly what they say, how Krishna does indeed guide us. He just took us right to Srila Prabhupada. And probably being a person like myself, I needed that direct, you know, experience, you know, to become convinced. So that was very wonderful the way Krishna did. Now, some people have a lot more faith and don't need that, perhaps, but everybody, somehow or another, is led to Krishna. And they have their own experience. Right? So, why a spiritual master, one might think? Why can't we just find a God on our own? Or, if all these scriptures tell us about him, why can't we just read the scriptures and know about God? It's not a bad question, actually, because one could, theoretically, but this is Krishna's system. This is the way he set it up. He set it up in such a way that his mercy isn't exhibited through the guru, through the spiritual master. And there's many, many verses like, can we meet Dr. Upanishad to understand these things properly? We must humbly approach with firewood in hand a spiritual master who has learned in the Vedas and firmly devoted to the absolute truth. 11.3.21 Bhagavatam says, therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. So Krishna describes that the guru is as good as himself. Now, in fact, in Adi 146, he says, one should know the Acharya as myself. I never disrespect him in any way. This doesn't mean that the guru is God. We all know that, but the jiva, the living entity, and God are, we are of the same nature, the same spiritual quality, but vastly different in quantity. We are very small. And, a true guru never claims to be God. In fact, Prabhupada would get somewhat upset or angry almost when these so-called gurus would say, I'm God, and you can become God, and we're all God. No. Krishna already has the position. It's taken. Krishna is God, and we are a very small servants, but very dear servants, and very loved servants by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the guru is the most confidential representative, it's described. He's like an ambassador. You know, he has, in other words, you could say, if an ambassador, a diplomat is in another country, he's representing the president or the king or whatever it might be of that country. He's not the same, obviously, but he has full authority to represent a governmental head. So in the same way, the guru is representative of Krishna. So he wants his, well, he wants his devotees to serve in that way. He gives these great souls credit. So you go. And he also extends that mercy. Krishna's mercy is extended by the Guru to every living entity. So also in Majalila 7.128, Lord Chaitanya said, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna that are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in his land. So again, his order, Lord Chaitanya's order, to go and give this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spiritual knowledge to everyone throughout the world. That's what we're being asked to do. And that's what Srila Prabhupada took up. Now, many people are given that order and very few are able to fulfill such a thing. In fact, the order is given to everybody. It's right there. We can all read it. He's asking that in so many different verses. He's saying, take this knowledge and distribute it throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada actually did it. Not only did he try, but he succeeded. And Srila Prabhupada was specially empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Lord Krishna to bring this Krishna consciousness out of India to the Western world and make thousands of devotees, establish hundreds of temples, publish and distribute millions and millions of books. Of course, he translated so many volumes into the English language. His accomplishments can go on and on. But the idea is that a spiritual master has this empowerment from Krishna. He can do things which are phenomenal. Srila Prabhupada came to America at 70 years old and went around the world many, many times, constantly traveling, constantly preaching, constantly working, constantly translating books. And sometimes, I used to think, well, Prabhupada's obviously very strong personality. Well, he wasn't. If you talk to his servants, Prabhupada had heart trouble, he had diabetes, you can go down the list. He wasn't healthy. But he never stopped. He gave his whole life, he gave everything to serve this mission, to give Krishna consciousness to us out of his mercy and out of his compassion. So another answer is, a practical answer, why we need a guru is it's for personal guidance. It's not enough to just read or study literature. Many of us read Bhagavad Gita or read other literatures and didn't really get very much out of it. But when we heard it from Prabhupada, we heard his purports, his explanations, the way that he gave practical examples, and the way he showed by his personal example, as a living acharya, one who teaches by example, that is convincing to us. Not so much just academic knowledge, but a deeply realized knowledge. Bhagavad Gita 4.34 says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So this last line, Gyanivas Tattva-darshana, says that the guru has complete knowledge. Tattva-darshana is he's seen the truth. Seen in terms of spiritual eyes. Seen beyond this material nature. Seen beyond the material qualities. And actually seeing, when you see spiritually, you see Krishna. So a spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada is seeing Krishna everywhere. And therefore, he's able to impart that and give that essence of God, of Krishna, to us. And we all experienced that in his presence. It was like Krishna was there, and everything was understood, and was all very, very clear because of his great depth of realization and love. The other thing about the relationship of guru is that we all need not only instruction, but we need personal relationship. We need someone to help us, someone to teach us. Of course, after Sambandha is Abhideya. So the next thing is the process of bhakti. And of course, Srila Prabhupada gave this to us. He instructed us according to the general process, the following the acharyas, the past spiritual masters, the disciplic succession, going all the way from Krishna to the present time of one guru after another, keeping those principles intact and not changing them, except very intelligently adapting them for time and place. Obviously, the culture of India 5,000 years ago and the culture of America in the 1960s was quite different. So Srila Prabhupada had to adjust the practices, but never change the basic philosophy. And that's an art. That is the art of the guru. To be able to point a time and place, still give that timeless knowledge with the essence unchanged. So he teaches general principle, but he also instructs individually, knowing the heart of the disciple. In a purport to Adi 134, Srila Prabhupada said, "The expert spiritual master knows well how to engage his disciple's energy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and thus he engages a devotee in a specific devotional service according to a special tendency." So we all have different propensities, different bodies, different minds. We're able to do different things. We're good at some things, good at others. Some people are great musicians, some of us aren't, etc. So we all can become engaged according to those propensities, because all devotional service is actually equal. In other words, whatever we do for Krishna, it's the quality. It's a matter of bhakti, a matter of love and devotion. If the service is done with love and devotion, that's what the Guru sees and that's what Krishna sees, whatever that service may be. So we do what we can according to our own abilities. The Guru's motivation, what is it? Why does the Guru do this? Doesn't do it for money, doesn't do it for fame, for adoration, for collecting disciples. Now, some Gurus may, but that is not a genuine Guru. The basis of the motivation of a genuine Guru is he acts out of love and compassion. For his disciples are for all living entities. So the great Acharya shared this compassion to give others spiritual understanding and to become free from the suffering in the material world. We have so many examples, like Prahlad Maharaj. He said in Bhagavatam 7.9.44, "My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see there are many saintly persons indeed, but they're not interested. They're interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet." That's the mood of the devotee. That's the mood of the guru, the spiritual master. Somehow or another, out of compassion, to bring the suffering souls back to the real spiritual life. So ultimately, why do we follow Srila Prabhupada? Because of his knowledge, yes. Because of his personal qualities, yes. But I say ultimately, it's because of our love and our trust for him. If that's not there, there's no basis of relationship. And if there's not relationship, you're not going to learn from another person. Do you really sit down and really want to learn from somebody you don't like? Not really, right? You think about it. You ever had not to belabor the point, but you understand what I'm saying. There has to be relationship. There has to be love and trust that's there. It reminds me of, I think it's one of the tapes, or maybe just one of his writings, Sasrut Maharaj was relating his early experience when he first joined the temple. He was in New York City there with the other devotees. And Chris Prabhupada was right there at the time. And he felt his own relationship as maybe a bit more distant for Srila Prabhupada, a little bit aloof. I mean, he kind of has that nature, he's sort of introverted, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Is that a fair way to say it? Anyways, very reserved kind of person. Very intellectual, obviously, and everything. But he was feeling this, that maybe he wasn't feeling as much as some of the other devotees were. And finally, Srila Prabhupada kind of took him aside and says, "If you love me, I will love you." And he said that turned everything around for him. Then he realized that was the thing. You had to open your heart. You had to give that love and be able to receive that love which Srila Prabhupada had for him. He said, and then it was completely different after that. He just felt, totally enlivened in Krishna consciousness. So we have very deep spiritual relationships in Krishna consciousness. Obviously with Krishna, with the Guru, with our God brothers and God sisters, with all of the devotees. And we have the highest knowledge. This prayojana, the culmination, the goal, is there. And it's described that the goal is Krishna prema. That love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna. So the highest goal is there, and it may take some time and some work to attain that, but Srila Prabhupada has put us on the path. And he is directing us and guiding us from within. And it doesn't matter whether Srila Prabhupada has left the planet 45 years ago, or you know, or even when he was with us 45 years ago. His guidance is still there, his love is still there, and he is watching over us and watching over this movement, and he's there for everyone. Obviously, not just his disciples. His books are being distributed, his words are there, we are worshiping him. And I just want to conclude with, this was written several years ago, I hadn't heard it for a while, but this was, GBC wrote a statement on the position of Srila Prabhupada, I can't remember when it was, maybe seven years ago or so, and we were all involved with it, and everybody was, it was pretty much unanimously, and everybody worked on it. Honestly, the primary authors were Anuttama Prabhu and Radhana Swami, but everybody had input into it. And here's what we all said at that time, because we wanted to answer people's questions, you know, the relationship, the Srila Prabhupada, etc. As the founder chair of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, and the preeminent teacher and ultimate authority within our society, Srila Prabhupada has a unique relationship with every ISKCON devotee. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person of Godhead, is the original Guru, whose divine grace descends through the medium of the Guru Parampara. As such, a devotee is ultimately delivered by Sri Krishna, acting through a combination of various manifestations of his mercy. These include, but are not limited to, the Chaitanya Guru, Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara, one's Diksha Guru, other Shiksha Gurus, the Holy Name, Shastra, and the nine processes of devotional service. Within these cooperative elements, Srila Prabhupada, as the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all members of ISKCON. All members of ISKCON for all generations are encouraged to seek shelter of Srila Prabhupada. All members of ISKCON are entitled and encouraged to have a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada through his books, teaching service, and his ISKCON society. All members accepting leadership roles within ISKCON, including Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus, have the duty of serving together under ISKCON's governing body commission to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's instructions as he has given in his books, lectures, and personal communications. Overall, the primary duty of all gurus and others in leadership positions is to assist Srila Prabhupada in his service to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So those who accept Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru in ISKCON are required to be exemplary in representing Srila Prabhupada's teaching in their words and personal behavior. The Shiksha Guru gives spiritual instruction and inspiration on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. The Diksha Guru gives spiritual instruction, inspiration, formal initiation, a spiritual name, and later imparts the sacred Gayatri mantras to a qualified disciple as a service to Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We have a few minutes. Any questions? Yes?
Thank you so much for speaking. I so much appreciate what you shared, especially the part about love and compassion mm-hmm. and the Guru's desire to bring the disciple closer to God being the qualification. So that brings the question to my mind, are there bona fide spiritual masters outside of ISKCON or who do not teach the process of Bhakti Yoga as we know it?
We don't say that there are no other bona fide spiritual masters. There may very well may be. We're following Srila Prabhupada within ISKCON, and I guess you'd say that, well, why do we have allegiance to, say, this movement or whatever? It's because of Srila Prabhupada. Because, you know, we just found that he was, you know, the guru who actually most fulfilled his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta's desires, and Lord Chaitanya's, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. I guess based upon, you know, seeing that great empowerment of Srila Prabhupada, you know, we are, you know, working within his line and staying within in his line. But we don't have any quarrel with others. If others want to, you know, take another path. Lord Chaitanya ultimately said that there will be many, many branches of Krishna consciousness. You know, I mean, as we spread through the years, the 5,000 year, you know, through the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, you know, when eventually there are millions and millions and millions of devotees, you know, there may be all sorts of different branches and movements. So we don't preclude that. You know, I guess just Srila Prabhupada's our guru, and we follow him and glorify him and encourage others to. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, there's a...
We have two questions.
Okay.
first one is...
Thank you for your class. Do you have a couple of day class coming up about this very topic?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a class coming up about this topic?
Are you going to the disciples course?
Yeah, I thought this was a good time to share that information.
Well, haven't you been announcing it, really? Now, the problem is right now is we don't have much sign up on it. It's supposed to be next weekend, but we've only have a couple people signed up, and you know we really have to have a few to be worthwhile. I'm going to be giving the course in the disciples course, which really teaches about the relationship with the spiritual master and disciple, and it's particularly meant for aspiring new disciples, people who are either qualified or thinking about seriously, you know, taking that next step of taking initiation in this kind. So that's what it's meant for. And so if anyone's really interested, I would strongly encourage you to sign up immediately, or the temple office will probably have to cancel. Okay, is there another one?
Yeah, my personal question is, so in the Dhamma Drastika, there's a line that says, I don't even want to know your future as Paramatma. And I've never been able to come to terms with that. How do you make sense out of that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, I was just reading Jiva Goswami's Preeti Sandarbha today. In the Preeti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is saying that there's two categories of absolute knowledge. One is what is called, Aishwarya Gyan, which is the knowledge of Krishna's grandeur and his power, you know, that he's, Bhagavan, And the other is Madhurya Gyan, which is his sweetness. And so those who are sort of in the Vrindavan Leela, obviously the author seems to be in the Vatsalya, Rasamut, obviously, seeing Damodar, Gopal, like that. They're much more in this mood of seeing the very, very sweet, loving relationships. And so sometimes the idea of Paramatma is a little bit more understanding sort of the greatness. He's, Purusha, Avatar, upholding the material world, etc. Of course, Paramatma's in her heart. So, but, how to say this? A very, 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 very advanced devotee sees not just Paramatma in the heart, but also experiences Krishna directly, whether it's Radha Krishna or, baby Krishna, whatever, within the heart, and takes guidance in that way. So I'm assuming that's the mood that the author of the song is in. I don't think it's to disparage Paramatma, because ultimately, they're really the same, aren't they? It's Krishna. Krishna's one, he has variegated energies. And there's different attractions to his different energies, right? And to his different moods, his different varieties, his different pastimes. So that's what, he's just expressing his mood, his spiritual mood, towards those more intimate Vrindavan pastimes, I think.
So I count on Paramatma a lot. I felt the conflict. I love Kartik, and I always had this little conflict that I don't really understand how to absorb this move.
Well, I don't know if anyone else thinks this is an odd question, but I've actually thought about that a lot myself. I know where you're at on that. So, I thought about that. Because generally, when we try to look within or try to experience Krishna, what does Krishna want from me, and we're praying to Krishna, but it's really to Paramatma. Isn't it? Basically it is. So yes, Paramatma is our dearest friend. He's been with us for lifetime after lifetime, accompanying this soul. So it's not that we neglect, but anyway, the way I understood it, this my own just little realization, is that I don't worry about it because they're the same.
Okay.
Paramatma is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Plenary means fully empowered. Okay?
Thank you.
So, you're not going to get conflicting information from Paramatma and Bhagavan, I don't think. They both tell you the same thing. Be a different mood, that's all. A little different rasa. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I wouldn't take that as absolute truth or anything. That's just my understanding. Okay. Is anybody else? Nope. Oh, one behind you? Behind you? Mitra?
A few months ago, Gaurav Maharaj came up to me and
just out of the blue, he said, "You know that song that says, 'I don't want to learn the form as Paramatma'?" He said, "I want it all. I want the Paramatma, and I want the baby too. I want it all." I thought that was kind of cute.
Okay.
It's got a garage.
Yeah, I can see that. That'll work. Okay. Prashadam Khan?
I'll go to Shri Prabhupada.